Okay. So the second topic of the Chaburas are going to be in the topic of the psul of nogeya beidus. Again, the section of Gemara that I had you guys learn a lot. I mean, difficult Gemara. A lot of guys are having a hard time with different parts of it. So again, a lot of different factors come up. We're really going to focus on the in the middle of Chaf Gimel and Beis is the sugya of nogeya beidus. So we really focus our attention on that for the two chaburas that we have on the topic. So just, it's a long Gemara, I don't want to read all of it inside, it's going to take a little while. So just, I want to do it, do the second and third part of the Mishnah, and go over the Gemara outside, just the Chazor. So Tom wanted to read for us the second part of the Mishnah. Starting with, Zeh Posel Dayan HaShel Zeh. That means you also have to say the Gemara outside. Reading the Mishnah also entails saying the Gemara outside. So we'll help you along. Yeah? Okay. Zeh posel?
Zeh posel dayanah shel zeh, veh posel dayanah shel zeh,
you can
eat fast each other's dander. Okay. You can only do that when you prove that they're actually fasting for din. Like they're a cover of fasting. Aval, yimei b'shanin, amunchim, mifeibetin, eino ichol lefoslam.
Alright, so the Gemara's big question on this machlokes, as well, the question is really focused on Rav Meir Shita, right? And the question is, where in the world does someone have the ability to just decide that he wants to passel the other person's diet? So what's the maskana of the Gemara in terms of the diet question? What is the reason, what is the case that Rav Meir and the Chum are arguing about, such that Rav Meir could have a shita that he can, that one Baldin can pass on the other Dayan?
He's talking about Dayanim that are not.
Exactly. Or Kos Shebasur. Exactly. It's the Maskan of the Gemara regarding the Dayanim. So the Machokis there is about, is a non-learned Dayanim. Dayanim were Amei Ha'aretz, and therefore that's the reason, and there, it's in that case Rav Meir and Chum are arguing about whether a Baldin has the ability, the capacity to be posel a non-learned Dayan. Fine, that's the Dayan part of the Gemara. Then moving on to the third part of the Mishnah. Yeah, you're in a roll. Oh, this is the harder part of the Gemara, I understand. I'm not foolish, yeah. Okay, so now the big question comes up again.
Okay.
But according to the, just with the Gemara transitions, is that once we say that even Rav Meir is going to agree that you can't be posel in a dayan as a mum, this is someone who's qualified to be a dayan. So when it comes to edim, everyone's assumed to be a qualified ed. So why in the world would Rav Meir, in what case are Rav Meir and the Chachamim arguing such that Rav Meir can hold that, you know, the Baal Din has the ability to be posel the ed, or edim, we're giving it away, of the other guy. So what's the first answer of the Gemara? What exactly is the case such that the Baal Din can
pull first himself? Answer of the Gemara is where the other Baal Din was mekabel the end of the other guy as to edim, right? Mekabel the kibbeit shalei.
Exactly.
And in that case, remember as mechadesh that you can be chozer.
You can retract. I mean, after originally having accepted one aid has two aid them by saying, like, oh, I mean, one Baal Din is talking to the other Baal Din and saying, oh, even if you bring one aid that you're right in the realm of Lomonos, I'll still, you know, I'll still let that win. Then he retracts that and says, wait a second, and maybe that wasn't such a smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And because, and the idea is because that's meaning, because an aid generally is not kosher for Lomonos, therefore you can pull that back.
Right.
That's the first answer. We're not going to deal with that as much as the second answer, and here you can read the Gemara inside. I give you Rishus. So starting with, you see, Amar Reb Elazar. So everyone see this in Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, let's say like eight lines down. The last two words in the line is Amar Rebbe. And I go for it. So this is going to be our introduction. This is where the Gemara gets into the issue of Nogei Adidus. And we're going to have to pay attention to every single line here. We're not going to flesh it all out now. In today's Chavur, we're going to give more background to like the nature of the Psul Nogeya. And the next Gemara, hopefully tomorrow night, we're going to see how those different perspectives, in general, on the Psul Nogea will impact how you deal with all these different issues that come up in the Shabbat part. Okay, go for it. So what's the case in the Mishnah, right, that you can be posel the Eidim? What's the case?
So the case is that the Baal Din brings another guy with him to be posel those Eidim.
And the idea is not coming along, right? Now Baal Din, of course, can't be posel himself, but he's working as being part of a cot of Eidim. He's working with another guy.
Yeah.
The Gemara asks.
But in that case, he's no Gavadut, and you can't be made on your own case.
Exactly. How can you be an aid in your own case?
Right.
I mean, you obviously have a vested interest in having the other guy's aid be posel.
Right.
Exactly. Oh. So then this is where the Havamina is coming.
Okay, so Amar Lach HaBlei Ika, Kigon Shekara Alav Al-Al, that you say that those Eidim, you find some problem with them.
Oh, so somehow at this point, the Gemara thinks, again, at the Havamina, the Gemara is going to reject it in a moment, but there seems to be a stage where the Gemara thinks that, meaning Shekara Alav Irer, the fact that you give an objective psul, somehow that won't be subject to psul Nagus. Mm-hmm. At this stage. And the Gemara then is going to reject that. We're going to have to analyze what exactly is the Havamina is going to hear. Mm-hmm. The Gemara then asks, Ira Jamai, what type of Ira is this?
Mm-hmm. And answer and brings up a possibility. Ilim, Ir Ilim, Gazlan Uta. And that he's trying to prove that they're Gazlanim.
Exactly.
And in that case, Kokimina, Gabed Ato. In that case, it's still not Gabed.
Exactly.
Right. We say, Ira, you're proving that there is a problem in the Mishpacha. Like,
Rashi
says, like,
Mishpacha Eidim. Spell it out. What's the Machokis? So once is the case, what's the Machokis between Rav Meir and the Chachamim?
So Rav Meir says that in that case, you're just proving some general family lineage, and in that case, you're not no Gavaydut. You're just proving some thing about his family. It happens to affect the Eidut, but that's not no Gavaydut. And Chachamim say no, because in the end of the day, you're changing your own Eidut, then we don't believe it.
You got so carried away about doing it outside.
I have to read it.
Yeah?
Okay.
And I'm giving you the opportunity to read it.
Okay, so Meir Sava, Hanay Mishpacha Kamis Hadeh. Right, like we said, that he's just being made on the.
I mean, you're directly discussing the family, and indirectly, that impacts this particular aid. So we're gonna have to analyze exactly what the focus is. I mean, obviously, Rabbanan make a lot of sense. At the end of the day,
wouldn't this be a big Lebuy?
Oh, very good. Actually, the Gemara in Ksubas, who has a similar Shachavitaria, actually brings that up. Gemara in Ksubas, where is it? I'm thinking, but I think a chup is on the top there. That's a good point. That's a good point. We have to deal with that. But just in terms of focusing on from the perspective of our sugya of Gei Be'edus, it seems to be an interesting machlokes. I mean, the Rabbanim make a lot of sense. At the end of the day, you're trying to be posel, the eid. Who cares? You're directly going in the family. So really the shita of Rav Meir is really the bigger chiddush to say that, oh, somehow because you're directly talking about the family and it's only somehow indirectly connected to the eid at hand, somehow that gets out, that obviates the issue of Nogeya Beis. So we're going to deal with all these different issues, but in order to really, properly analyze and assess all these Havaminas and Maskanas, you really have to have a better understanding of what the nature of the Psul Nogeya is, because you can't, without really having that foundation, you can't really then try to analyze the applications of Nogeya Beis in our Sugya. Fine. So, approved the methodology? Good. Okay, fine. So now we're going to take a step back and really try to understand what exactly is the nature of the Psul Nogeya that's being discussed here. And really just to frame the question, it's important to note that it's very interesting the way you read it. No, you read it correctly. The way the Gemara has it is that the Gemara never quotes a makor for the Psul. Right? The Gemara here, and the Gemara also in Baba Basra, Mem Gimel, but it also cites the, we'll get to that Gemara in a moment, but it also cites the Psul Nogeya. It just says, Kol Kimine Nogeya Be'edusu. Just visit. How could it be? Of course, the person Nogeya Be'edus. But generally, when it comes to Psul Eidus, the Gemara always brings Makoros for it. Let's say, no, probably not going to get to it in the summer. That probably is a definite. But, and then Gemara in Chavzayin, when it's talking about Psul Rasha, the Gemara brings Joshas for it. Altashas Rasha 8. That's the Makor for Psul Rasha. And then Psul Karov and Chavzayin on Beis here. Megumsu Avos Albanim, all Makoros. So why, when it comes to the psul of Nogeya Be'edus, all of a sudden here, the Gemara doesn't feel like it needs to bring any Makoros? So that's the opening question, and basically that's going to lead us to the nature of the psul, because basically the question is, what is the nature of the psul such that it doesn't require its own independent Makor? So just methodologically, the way to approach, I mean, if you just have this question, and you'll say you have a din, that macha. So really there are two ways, just a priori, without even getting to enemy koros, how you can analyze this question. And that you have a din, there's no makor for it. And it seems like it should require a makor. So two ways to say it. Either that a makor isn't needed. One way to say it is because it's a svara. And so basically this din is a svara pshuta, well, svara daraisa, whatever you want to refer to it. It's a svara pshuta, and therefore you don't need a drasha, you don't need a pasuk to tell you. That's one way to take it. The other way to take it is that there, not that you don't need a makor, but that you already have a makor. And that is, while it appears that there's no makor for this, really, this particular din is really an application of a larger or a different din, which does have a makor. So again, two ways to approach this question. Again, we're going to deal with this exactly in Psalm Nogea. Is that Psalm Nogea is just, it's a svara, that you don't need a makor, or that really, it has a makor, and you have to really look elsewhere, because really, the Psalm Nogea is really stemming from one of the other psule edus. And the question is going to be, which psule edus does it stem from? Fine, that's just background. Oh. So with that, we're going to see that in the Mefarshim, that there are three approaches to what the nature of the psul nogea is. I'm going to go through each one with all of Makoros and all the Rishonim, you know, supporting each one. So the first approach in the sugya is that the basis for the psul nogea is called a technical chashash sheker, right? It's that there is no formal psul, right? And therefore, I mean, as you can imagine, this is the svara approach, right? You don't need a makor because it's a svara that if an aid, the basis of edus is that the person has a chassas kashrus. We trust the following person to give correct, accurate edus. But if, for whatever reason, let's say because of a factor of negius, we no longer trust the person, so therefore, that person is not going to be believed for edus. You don't need a makor for that, because if you lose the very foundation of edus, of course, you don't have the right to give edus. So the first approach is that the basis of the psul nogea is what we call a chashash sheker. Again, not a formal psul. We're going to get to why that's an important idea. It's not a formal psul, but it's rather technically, this person lacks ne'emanus. And again, that explains why there is no need for makor, because it's a svar.
It's like something like Kim Shtaros, like midaraisa, it's good, but midarabanan to say, the rabbanan say, I have like another like barrier.
Meaning, to the midaraisa lechatzah finish lezuyufe. Yeah. So, but the only difference between that is that's only midarabanan.
So
here it's even daraisa.
How's it come daraisa? What's the hagdara?
No. So in this context, we're basically there. The only reason why that's only midrabanan is because on a daraisa level, there was a chazak of a chatzef inish lezuyufe. There was a certain like reality where nobody lied. I mean, the background is when it comes to shtaras, right? The assumption is, and when someone signs an ashtar, don't even jushav chakira. This is a whole sugya. But it's assumed there's a certain chashivas, a certain aura surrounding shtaros, which basically scares everyone away. No one's going to lie. That's an daraisa level. It's only different ways to interpret it, but let's say, according to the simple approach, is that it was like a kilkul adoros. Now later on, people started, you know, that aura was lost, and then people started lying. So the only reason, meaning the notion of a chashash sheker could be daraisa. It just, in that context, there happened not to have been one midaraisa, and it only, you know, came about later on. Here, we're just saying, even on the daraisa level, someone who's nogea, someone who's a vested interest in the case, even on daraisa level, right, has that chashash sheker. So we're going to see a number of Mefarshim now who, in different contexts, it's clear from their comments that they're understanding the psul nogea as this chashash sheker, but not a formal psul. So the first example is the Ravid, quoted in the Rashba in Bava Basra, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. So again, anybody get a chance to look up the Gemara in Bava Basra Mem Gimel, just to give us some background?
There was Shutman, whatever.
Exactly.
And they were, it was a little long. They wanted to go back. One wanted to back out.
I think the same case of the Shutzvin, Eden Zeh, Alzeh. Basically, if someone wants to challenge one of the Shutzvs, Bailus in the field, the other Shutzv is able to be made. So the Gemara then asks.
So then isn't it Nogea? Nogea
Beis. Again, this is the other time where the Gemara asks, just called Nei Nogea Beisusu, without quoting a Mappa. That's what I was referring to before. So it's here and there. Yeah.
So it's why isn't he nogea? I mean, totally.
Because at the end of the day, meaning if
he
someone
wants him to be his shutta, so or doesn't.
I mean, at the point in the Gemara assumes at this point, meaning they haven't divided up the land. So let's say 10 acre land. So they haven't yet divided it up. So right now it's a pie of 10 acres. So if someone comes and is ma'arer and takes away three of the acres, then that impacts both of them. Exactly. So what is the Gemara answer?
So Gemara says he backed out already.
Exactly. Basically, he gave the entire, all the rights.
To one guy, so now he's a separate person.
Exactly. No longer has negius. And the Gemara asks.
But he's already nogea from before. I mean, he was already.
That's the Rishonim asked that. The Gemara asks basically.
Well, you can't even remove himself. It's exactly. By the Sefer Torah.
So exactly. Okay. But in the Sefer Torah, we see that you can't. You know, what's the case there?
Sefer Torah
owned
by a city.
I mean, the Sefer Torah was stolen from a city.
And they want to kind of
who could be the Dayan.
And the problem is, Dayan, they're all biased. They want to find out who's guilty because it's their Torah. So they remove themselves. But they can't remove themselves from the Torah because it's Korah. Because everyone has an ownership, you can't remove yourself from the Torah.
And you're still gonna benefit, let's say, from Kriyas HaTorah in the city.
Right, right.
Fine.
You're still involved
with the Torah. Yeah. But, right, so basically then, this is the question that all the Rishonim ask in that Gemara. So basically Gemara says the reason why you can't get out of there is only because, you know, there still is a Negius, even after you remove yourself, even after you remove your monetary, you know, stake in the Sefer Torah, because at the end of the day you're gonna benefit from your town having a Sefer Torah to lean from. But the question that all the Rishonim ask, and we're gonna see, the answer to this question is going to be very telling in terms of a particular Rishon's, you know, perspective on Psalm Nogea. So what's the question they all ask? What's the phrase? Tchilaso.
Tchilaso.
It's Tchilaso. It's Tchilaso. It's Tchilaso. It's a problem. Meaning, in order for... exactly, different ways to say it, you know, focus on the negative or the positive. Because in order, an eight is only kosher when tchilaso v'sofa b'kashrus. Meaning when he's kosher, he's kosher, both tchila, which is generally defined as b'shas re'iyah, and v'sofa b'shas hagada. So the question they're all asking is that why is the Gemara assuming that, you know, even after, you know, the case at hand, that as long as, you know, one of the people takes himself out before the Dion, before the Edus, everything will be alright. The question is, what do you mean? In all these cases, you have the Psul Negius, B'Tchila, at the beginning of the case. So the question is, why is the Gemara ignoring that factor of Tchilaso B'Paslus when it comes to the Psul of Nogea Be'edus, right? That's the question that everyone asks. And again, the answer to that question will be very telling. So the way the Ravid, again, quoted in the Rashba on the spot there,
was the case again? Of the
Yeah, basically, let's say just a case where, you know, you have Shutzven, right? And basically one of the partners wants to be Meyed for the other partner. So the Gemara originally asks, there's a Negius factor there. So the Gemara says, let's solve the Negius factor by just basically having him give up all his monetary rights in the field. Basically, he gives up the entire field to his friends, so he no longer has a monetary stake in it, and therefore you solve the Negius problem. And the Gemara, the Rishonim are all asking, in that case, and the Sefer Torah case is the same basic idea, they're all asking that even if he gives up his monetary stake later, and he's no longer a nogea of the edus at the shas edus. In the beginning of the case, he was, and there's a rule of tchilas. You need both tchilaso and sofa b'kashrus. So that's the question that all the Rishonim are dealing with. So the answer that Ravid gives is basically he limits this requirement of tchilaso of the sofa b'kashrus to the realm of psul kurva and psul rasha, right? Only in those realms where in our terminology, and this is what he's saying, we'll read it in a moment, where you have a formal psul. So when it comes to a formal psul, then you have, right, if at the beginning of the case, he had a psul haguf, that's the lashon we've shown him. So then, yeah, tchilaso b'psul, and that's a problem. But when it comes to negius, according to the Ravid, negius is a formal psul. It's just a chashash sheker. And since it's just a chashash sheker, there was never a formal status of psul here. So therefore, in the case, if you're just thinking, you're just analyzing the case from the perspective of chashash sheker, then as long as by the time, when it comes to chashash sheker, the only problem, the only time that the issue of chashash sheker arises is when the person is being made, when the sheker can come about. Therefore, if as long as by the time of the edus, that chashash sheker is neutralized, because he's no longer, the negius has been removed, therefore it's not going to be a problem. So again, we'll read this, the Lashon of the Ravid, right now. Basically, we're going to see that this perspective of chashash sheker basically dictates that because it's not a formal psul, it is not subject to this psul of tchilaso b'psul. So according to the Ravid's Lashon, is as follows. Ki ba'inan hachi, when do you have this requirement of tchilaso v'sofa b'kashrus? Hani mili b'paslus de gufa. Oh, b'paslus de kurva. basically, when it comes to a psul aguf, I think he's referring to like a psul rasha, or a psul of kurva. Both those are formal psulim. This is a status of the gadra as having a formal psul aid. And therefore, that status prevents him from even testifying later when that status falls away. Aval hacha mishum chashta. It's just a chashad. It's just a chashad sheker. Dinogin be'idusun. Dinogin be'idusun based on the negiyas. And therefore, since it's just a chashad sheker, it's not a formal psul. Once you remove that chashash sheker, ksherin bein le'indus bein le'din. There's no problem anymore. So again, this approach of chashash sheker has a very important nafkamina in terms of this idea of not being subject to this problem of tchilaso, the self of kashrus. And Tosfos on the spot in Baal Basra, and in Dir Maskel Lisalku, and in Shvuas Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph Dir Maskel Krovim, if you guys looked it up, says very similar. Again, not as clear as the Rebbe, but seemingly going in the same idea. It basically asks the same question, what do you mean in these cases, why don't you have the problem of tchilasa b'psul? Basically the answer is that this yisod, this psul of tchilasa b'psul, is limited to psul yaguf, such as psul rasha, and psul karov, but doesn't apply to the psul of nogea, because psul nogea is not a formal psul, doesn't grant the person a formal status. Sorry. But rather, just a chashash ba'alma, just to read, you know, the lashon of Tosas and Shavuos. It says, Ein ledamos psul demachmas shenogim be'idus. You can't compare, right, in the context of this issue of tchilaso yisof ha'bekashos, you can't compare the psul of negiyah be'idus, the psul de kurva or the sharp psul. You can't compare them at all. Basically, presumably saying this idea, because it's not a formal psul, and therefore it's not subject to such a din. Fine. So that's the Ravid and the Baalei Tosfos both taking this approach of Chashash Sheker and applying it for the Nafka Mina of Tchilasa V'Sofo B'Kashrus. So another, you know, Mefarish who takes this Chashash Sheker approach, but again in a different context, which is interesting, the opposite way. Right. So far we've seen the Ravid and Tosfos basically saying that because it's only a Chashash Sheker, therefore in a sense it's more of a Mekel Psul. Right, it doesn't, you know, doesn't trigger one of these other requirements of tchilas of sofa b'kashrus. Here we're going to see the Tosas Rit, who in Baba Basra membezam at the beginning of the sugya that we were discussing. Well, the Tosas Rit is going to say the same idea that the psul nogea is just a chashash sheker, but utilize that not lakula like we were saying before, but rather lachum. Again, it's the same yisod, but depending on what context you're dealing with, which din you're trying to apply it to. You're going to see that sometimes it manifests itself as a chumrah, and sometimes it manifests itself as a kula. So Tosa Rid here is discussing the issue of palginan ne'emanus, right? And that is the idea where you can, let's say, in the case that you have a psul karov, right? Where, let's say you have an aid who is a karov to one baldin, but he's a rachok, he's not related to another baldin, right? Two people who are impacted by the case. So basically, palgino ne'amanus, he doesn't use that term, but Rishonim use the term palgino dibura, and sometimes they mean palgino dibura in the sense that we use it in terms of splitting, you know, a sentence in half. And sometimes they just use that term to refer to what we now call palgino ne'amanus, which means as follows. If you don't split the words, you basically just split the application as follows. Right, in a case where the aid, or one aid, is a karov to one baldin, but not a karov to another baldin, so in the context of a psul karov, Tosfos Rit says we can apply palgino ne'amanus to say that what? That basically that edus is ne'aman legabe the baldin who is not a karov, is ne'aman legabe the rachok, but is not ne'aman legabe the karov. So it's palgino ne'amanus in the sense that you're splitting the ne'amanus of this edus, in the sense that edus is believed regarding one baldin, but not regarding another baldin. So the Tosfos Rit says, the reason why you can do that, the reason why you can say that, oh, this is Neman for one and not the other, is because, he says, the Psul Karov, it's the opposite of a Chashash Sheker. He says, the fact that, some Rishonim say, right, the fact that the Psul Karov applies to Moshe Ba'aron, even though there's no Chashash Sheker in that context, right, we don't, you know, not trust Moshe who would be made in an Aron, is a Gzeiras HaKasev that Krovim can't be made for each other. Despite the fact that we can, automatic meaning we have full trust in the people. And he adds, even without Moshe and Aaron, he says, we don't trust, interesting perspective on family, he says, while someone will lie for himself, he won't lie for his family member. That's the assumption. Again, it's own assumption. So he says, since the psul karov, psul kurva, there's no chashash sheker there. It's just a formal psul. So therefore, you can say that the aid has full ne'amanus, Right? Even though he's also talking about his karov, right? The same edus impacts his karov and a rachok. So, but because he has full ne'amanus, so we can say, oh, we can accept what he's saying as truth and just apply it to the rachok case and not apply it to the karov case where there's a formal psul. But, says Tosafot, but because the psul nogeya is all about a chashash sheker, which means that, right, and so in the case where, let's say, the Eidus impacts himself and another person. So the question is, why can't you also have Palgina Nemonas? You believe the Eidus for the other person, but not regarding yourself. But he says, if you think that the basis of the Psul Nogeh is all a Chashash Sheker, which means that when the Eid said his piece, that he was lying because he could also potentially benefit from it, so once you consider the statement of Eidus to be a lie, then of course you can't accept it for anybody, because once it's a lie, it's untrue. It's only in the context of Psul Karov, which we assume to be the truth. Once it's the truth, then the only problem of a Psul Karov is a formal Psul. So then, okay, we won't accept it halachically for in the case where the formal Psul exists, but we can accept it where the formal Psul does not exist. But again, because Psul Nogeya is all a Chashash Sheker, once it is untrue, it can't be used in any context. So again, while the Ravid and Tosfos say, oh, Chashash Sheker results in a Kula, right? In the context of Tchilas of Sof HaBekashrus, here you have the Tosafot Rid taking the same Yisod, but saying it ends up in a Chumrah to say that we can't even apply Palgina Ne'amanus because we think it's not true. Fine.
And Karov and Rachok are in two separate cases, or it's in the same exact...
It's like the same Eidus, the same words, let's say, this person lent money to him, it's the same Eidus, it just will impact, let's say, the Karov is the Malva, and the Rachok is, let's say, the Orif. It's the third party who would be impacted by the case. Because it's the same Eidus, the same facts that came out of his mouth, just will have an impact on two different people. So again, if we trust the words that came out of his mouth, if you trust, when he says, oh, the loan took place, you trust that, so then you can just say, oh, since we trust it, we can apply it to the person who is not related, even though we can't apply it formally to the person who is related. Fine. And the last Mefarshim, and later Achronim, who accept this approach, are on the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch, both the Sma and the Shach on Simon Lamed Zayin, both in their first, right, Lamed Zayin Aleph, right? This is the Simon which is discussed in the Psul Nogeya. So right in their opening, comments on the Simon, they both we'll see, quote the Ir Shushan, who's Lavush, who accepts the second approach of that Psul Nogeya has been Kurva, we'll get to that in a moment, and say they reject him entirely and says, no, what are you talking about? The basis of a Psul Nogeya is a Chashash Sheker. It's clear. We'll read it inside in a moment. And therefore, another Nafkimina, again, this is in the direction of Lakula, right, in the same direction as Tosos and the Ravid originally, is to say, if the whole basis of the Psul is a Chashash Sheker, so then, let's say you have a case where the person is not being made for his own benefit, but he's being made L'chovalsa. He's being made against himself. Basically, he's saying, oh, I owe money, or I did something wrong. So in that case, if you think the whole basis of the psul is chashash sheker, so then when you're going against yourself, we don't assume you're going to be lying. So for the sma and the shach say that because we accept the chashash sheker approach, therefore that aligns with all the evidence that they think the evidence in all the sugyas are that the psul nogeya do not apply when the nogeya is being made l'chovasa. So they say l'shitaseinu, since the psul is based on chashash sheker, in the case of made l'chovasa where the chashash sheker doesn't exist, this is going to the Psul Nogeya is not going to apply. So just to give you the lashon of the Sma here, he basically says this before. He says, Upashit hu be'inai, or it's Pashit in my eyes. This is after quoting the Ir Shusha on the Levush. He says, Dahatamu, or the basis, the reason for the Psul Nogeya is, Mishum dechashdinale, we suspect him, bedavar shiagia lo hanami menu. Right, in a situation, the Eidus, which he has potential of deriving benefit from. And he goes on to say, therefore, in the case of the Chavasa, where he doesn't derive benefit from it, the Psul Nogeya is not going to apply. So again, you have the Ravid, Balitosos, Tosos Rid, Sma, and Shach, all taking this Chashash Sheker approach, but again, all in different contexts, right? The Ravid and the Balitosos in the Kula context of Tchilas of Kashrus, then you have Tosos Rid in the Chumra context of Palgina Ne'amanos, then you have the Shach and the Sma in the Kula context of Meir L'Chavasa. Fine. Adkan, approach number one of Chashash Sheker. Any questions?
Yeah. Okay, so if they're being made
the
Chovasa,
huh?
Then would
Hadas
Balin kick in?
Okay, we're going to get to that in a moment. Yeah, we'll see. Lishatoso has a piece here. We'll get that in a moment. fine. So, second approach in the sugya is that really the psul nogea is a formal psul. What is it? It's a psul karov, right? Generally, the psul kurva is understood as being when you're being made on, you know, an actual relative. But here, and the idea is, you know, you're being made on something which is related to you, something which is close to home. So, according to his understanding, when you're being made on a case which impacts yourself, that's a form of kurva, that's a form of connection. So again, according to this approach, the reason why there's no makor for nogei be'edus is not because you don't need a makor, but rather because you have a makor, because since the Gemara Chav Zayin on the base, right, like Yumsu Abbas on Banim, because the Gemara quotes a makor for the psul of Karov, now we're just saying that that psul of Karov is not limited to the classic case of being made on your brother, sister, mother, father, etc., etc. It also extends to psul nogea. So again, according to the second approach, it's not that you don't need a makor, but rather you have a makor for psul nogea because it's included in the makor for a psul karov. Fine. So the mefarshim who take this approach, again, the first one is the Yad Rama on that sugya in Bava Basra Mem Gimel. Again, the Yad Rama, yeah, in his first day. He says this idea, right? It coming off the question that we were basically quoting the other Rishonim, the question that everyone asks, or again, on the Sugya Mem Gimel Lamed Aleph, is why in the world is the Gemara... We'll get to Rimi Gash in a moment. So the Yad Rama, again, addressing that question of why is the Gemara on Mem Gimel ignoring the issue of Tchilaso the self of Bekashrus. So the way he says it is that really, that's a good, very good question. Because he says that requirement, that Tchilaso of the self of Bekashrus, should apply to the Psul of Nogea, just like it applies to the Psul of Karov. Because actually the Makor for that Yisod of Tchilaso of the self of Bekashrus is in the context of the Psul Karov. So he says that should thereby extend to the Psul Nogea because they're exactly the same thing. His Lashon is, in his first day, is as follows. Psul nogeya ve'iduso nami ki psul krovim dami. They're very similar to kaimlan adam karov eitzel atzma. That's an important way. So he understands that this line, which is a very loaded statement, so we'll get back to this. The way he understands, right, generally when the Gemara says, ein adam, maybe in the context of ein adam meis matzav rasha. The reason why you can't make yourself a rasha, the Gemara says, because in some places it says, adam karov eitzel atzma. So he's basically taking that phrase and saying, look, the Gemara explicitly says that you're a karov regarding yourself. That's a great makor, that, you know, the psul of nogeya ve'edus, when you're talking about yourself, is exactly a karov, because adam karov eitzel atzma. So the Yad Rama says, basically quotes that line of the Gemara, a little out of context, but says adam karov eitzel atzma proves that the din, right, the nature of the psul nogeya is really a psul karov, and therefore that factor of tchilaso, the sofa bakashas, should apply here. So he says, oh, so why doesn't? So he says he has to come up with a case where it must be, the case is such, in the case of the Shutzvin, where even Tchilaso, basically, he removed himself from the case basically before the questionable issue arose. Right? They're being made on like whether or not a sale took place between his Shutzv and someone else. So basically, the case must be where this guy, you know, the Shutzv, got out of the situation even before anything took place. So therefore, it is a case of Tchilaso v'Sofa Bekashrus. Because really, the Tchilaso v'Sofa Bekashrus needs to be there because Psul Nogeya is a Psul Karov. But it's not a problem because he basically explains the case in such a manner that it happens to be Tchilaso v'Kashrus.
Isn't the Raya like about, I think it's Adaf Yoder saying, but the Raya doesn't seem to think that's how you read it?
Yeah, we're going to get that, yeah. He's going to read it a little differently.
It's not within Karvus, it's not like the Inzah Shemid.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. We're going to get that's the third approach. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. We're getting there. So at the moment, the Yad Rama learns that as a psul edus. Again, a psul edus of kurva. Exactly. We're going to see that not everybody learns that idea of adam. It says adam karov eitzel atzma. So he says, oh, it says the word karov in there. That it's definitely a viable tradition. We're going to see later that not everybody interprets that phrase like that. So the Ritzva in Kiddushin, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Again, some of you guys had a chance to see it. Dibur Maskel ve'ikka de kashule. Again, also takes this approach, like the Yad Rama, that the psul of tchilasa of a self of kashrus applies to the psul of nogeya. But the way he answers the question therefore is, right, if the tchilas of Yisofa Pekashros needs to be there when it comes to Psol Nogeya, so then why don't you have the problem in the Sugya and then Gimel and Aleph and both? So instead of saying like the Yad Ramah that it just happens to be a case where it is tchilas of Pekashros, he says, oh, there's a very important distinction, we're going to get back to this in a moment, according to the Ritva, between the Psol Nogeya and the Psol Baldavar. Right, a Psol Nogeya is where you'll say you have a vested interest in the case. Right? The case is about someone else, but you happen to have a vested interest, it will come back and impact you. But Baldavar is where you are actually the Nidon. You are the primary Nidon. So according to the Ritva, it's very important. He's separating those two. We're going to see the third approach is, people are going to say, I'm jumping the gun again a little bit, but just for the contrast, the third approach is going to be, people will say that, no, the Psol Nogeya is a Psol Baldavar. We'll get back to that. But at this point, right, the Ritva thinks that the Psol Nogeya is really a Psol Kurva, which is distinct from the Psol of Baldavar. And he explains that while the Psol of Nogeya, which is a Psol Karov, is a Psol Edus, and therefore since it's a Psol Edus, it's subject to the din of Tchilasa Vesova Pekashras, he says the Psol Baldavar is what Maishi referred to before, is not, it's not a Psol Edus, it's rather that you lack a Shem Eid. We'll get back to that in a moment. And according to the Ritza, we'll get to this idea in a second, if the, let's say, the particular psul at hand is not really a psul, but it's rather that you lack a shem edus, so then the problem of tchilasa v'sofa b'kashrus is not going to come about, because the problem of tchilasa v'sofa b'kashrus is when b'tchila you were pasul, but if b'tchila you weren't pasul, you just didn't have a shem eid, so then when you attain a shem eid at a later point, and at that point you're kosher, so then kol zman that you have a shem eid, you're a kosher eid, so it's not going to be a problem. So again, so according to the Ritva, you see this idea that if the issue at hand is a lack of a shem eid, then you're not going to have a problem with tchilasa v'sofa b'kashrus. And in the way he explains the sugya in Babasra, he says, oh, that case, l'maskana at least, although the Gemara cites nogeya be'idus, so he has to say that, but the transition of the Gemara is that it starts to understand at the end that really the issue in the case of the Sefer Torah is an issue of being a baldavar. And because it's an issue of baldavar, where it's a lack of a shem eid, so therefore that's why the tchilasa v'sofa b'kashrus doesn't apply there.
Why doesn't our Gemara call it a Nogeya Be'edus? Shouldn't it be Baldavar? Because he's Baldin.
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. Why, according to that...
Is that a good question. Is he a Baldin in the case of deciding whether his other aid is Pashal Edus?
Yeah, they're discussing the other Edus. They're not discussing the case at hand.
Uh-huh. Okay, maybe that's the answer. That's a good answer. You're saying the Nidon is like a little like Ramban-esque about Edom Domi. You're saying the Nidon, when you're talking about the Edom, are the Edom themselves.
Right.
Yeah, meaning when you're talking about whether they're Gazlanim or whether they're Avadim, the case is their status. Yes, it will then have an impact on your case, because they happen to be Edom there. But yeah, I'm agreeing. Okay. Yeah, it's just referencing a Ramban. The kind of Edom Zomim, the big question of, you know, why do you believe the latter cut over the original cut, and basically the big sort of the Ramban, is that when the latter cut, the Edom Zomim, are basically passing the first set, the Nidon are the Edom, so of course the second Edom are believed. Okay, again, you get it, it's not so important.
What is that
Ramban? Ramban is Ala Torah in Shoftim. Yeah. In Shoftim, I think Parak Chafnal, but I can find that for you quite easily. Devarim Chavdalet. Yeah, that's a very good answer. Again, that would be why in our sugya it's only Nogeya Be'edus. That's a very good point. Fine. Again, you have the Yad Ramah, and the Ritzvah both saying that the Psul of Tchilas of Sova B'kashus should apply to the Psul of Nogeya Be'edus, because the Psul of Nogeya Be'edus is Midin Kurva. And the other, I guess, later Shita who holds with this idea that it's Midin Kurva is the Ir Shushan, which is one of the Levush's Svarim. Right. Each Sefer of a Levush on a different, you know, Chalkei, Chalakim and Shulchan Aruch, I call it. What?
Isn't it like the five garments?
Yeah, four, I think. But, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Ir Shushan, Tchil Zav,
Terzav,
Sacher Quotes.
Okay, very good. Fine. So the Ir Shushan, we'll have Shira Megillah later. Right, so the Ir Shushan, the Levush, right, is the Shita that all the Nosei Kelim are quoting. He explicates this idea, and he says, Beferish, that the Psul Nogeya is Midin Kurva. He says, V'lo Mishum de Chashdinan Le, Again, this Yir Shushan is quoted in that Shach and the Sma, Mamad Zayin Aleph, and they're both quoted in the same. V'lo mishum de chashdin alei. It's not because we're choshed him. It's not because of chashash sheker. Ela mishum de adam karov etzal atzma. Again, it's midin psul kurva. That's the Yir Shushan. So the Shach is a very interesting point. The Shach is trying to understand what drove the Levush, the Yir Shushan, to basically take this approach that it's midin psul kurva and not chashash sheker. Right? I mean, where did he come to that? And because they're important enough gemara that come out of it. And he says the following question from a certain gemara, which is very important because it's also an introduction to the Rimigash we'll get to in just a few minutes. And that is the gemara Bava Basra Mamhei Amud Aleph. Right? We're talking to Tavi about this. Right? The gemara Bava Basra Mamhei applies the psul nogeya in the following context. Right? You have a case, remind me, right? You have a case where you have someone, or I'll say a mocher, who is being made that he sold, that he was a mocher, they sold his land to this lokeach. So the Gemara says there's a potential negius there. Why? Because of a bal chov. Because if he has a bal chov, so right, if he owes money to someone and he has no other lands from which the bal chov can collect from, obviously he's not paying him back. So he would want it to seem that, you know, he sold this land to this other party so that now his bal chov can come and collect that land to prevent him from being a lover Russia v'lo yishalim. Right? Because if his bal chov never gets paid back, so then he will be a lover Russia v'lo yishalim, because a lover was a Russia for not having paid back. So he wants to be able to allow his malva, his bal chov, to be paid back. So he's going to pretend that he had a piece of land which he sold to this lokeach, so therefore the bal chov will be paid back. So the question that all the Rishonim are going to have to deal with is, wait a second, he's going to lie be'idus and be over losana berecha eid shaker, which is, you know, very serious, very chamor iser, to prevent him from being considered a lova rasha leishan. Basically, you know, in terms of the gravity of yisurim, it's clear that testifying falsely is much more chamor than not paying back a loan because you don't have the money. So the question is, basically, and this is the way that's the question that everyone has to deal with. So the way the Shach says it is that the Yir Shushan is bothered by this question, and therefore says, oh, so that's a proof that the reason behind the Psul Nogeya is not a Chashash Sheker. Because if it's a Chashash Sheker, there's no reason for this person to lie. Because from a perspective of, you know, what he wants to do, he should not want to lie, because he should prefer, you know, to be an upstanding individual and not lie in court and be over that Isser than to prevent himself from being a lover Russia lo yishalim. So basically, the Shach says, what the Levush is probably thinking, he's probably bothered by this kasha and says, oh, from the Chashash Sheker standpoint, there shouldn't be a Psul Nogeya here. Therefore, the only reason why there's a Psul Nogeya here, despite the lack of Chashash Sheker, it must be that the reason for the Psul Negius is not a Chashash Sheker, but rather a Psul Kurva. And we know that a Psul Kurva is across the board, right? Even by Moshe Va'aron, even when there's no Chashash Sheker. So that's the way the Shach explains. That Gemara in Bava Basra Memhei is the makor for the Levush that the din of Negius is not a Chashash Sheker, but rather a formal Psul Kurva. Fine. And the last thing in the Shach, which is a very interesting point, where he basically, remember, the Shach is very convinced that the evidence in Shas points in the direction that a nogeya should be neman lichovasa when he's being made against himself. So he's very bothered by it. Right? He thinks that's true. So it works out well for his shita. His shita says, well, chashash sheker, so therefore that makes a lot of sense. So he says, oh, how can I explain? He rejects this, but he has a havmina to basically try to explain how even the levush, who holds it as a psul kurva, could, even the levush, can basically say that the psul nogeya doesn't apply lichovasa when it's the detriment of the person. And obviously, the question of psul karov applies in all cases. So the Shach presents this again. He ends up rejecting this and therefore rejects the whole shita of the levush. He says perhaps the driving force behind the kurva, right, in the case of nogeyas, is the potential hana that the nogeya can get. And basically, the way he says it is that perhaps what makes you a karov is the potential hana that you're getting from the edus. Right? That hana from the edus is a shear in your kurva. But once you're being meyed l'chol vaso, and therefore you're not attaining any hana from the case, so perhaps even if you take the approach of psul kurva, perhaps even the psul kurva doesn't apply in the case where being meyed l'chol vaso. So again, it was clear that the chashash sheker doesn't apply in the case of the chavasa. But basically, the shach has the suggestion, he ends up rejecting it, which is an interesting idea, of perhaps, you know, defining the kurva in terms of the hana. And therefore, even the psul kurva approach will be, you know, flexible based on whether that person is attaining hana or not. And again, his kamash milan seemingly is that, you know, psul kurva is much more objective. And at the end of the day, as long as there is potential in the case for you to derive hana, that makes you a kara, but it doesn't, we don't then go to see, you know, what side you're going to end up taking. It's that, what is the case? You are a kara to the case, because there's potential hana in the case. Again, it doesn't matter that you end up coming out, you know, l'chavoscha. Fine. And the other, again, so in terms of, you know, again, just to sum up, in terms of the psul kurva approach, we've had the Yad Ramah, the first day, so the Ritzvah and Kiddushin, now the Levush, as explained by the Shach. And then the last thing is the Ktzos, and we'll get into Nadal's Balat in a little bit. So the Ktzos, again, accepts this approach of Psul Kurva, but importantly, I'm just going to get us to the third approach, he says, oh look, the Rimigash accepts this approach at all, as well. Because the Rimigash is also talking about, you know, the phrase of Adam Kara Beitzel Atzmo. So he says, yeah, the Rimigash supports the Levush and agrees with Levush that it's a Psul Kurva. So we're going to see that If we look at the Rimigash inside, again, I mistakenly put the Yad Ramah on the Makoros. I really meant to say the Rimigash. We'll see it together in a moment. But it's a very important Rimigash. But the Ktzos is important just to note that the Ktzos understands the Rimigash as going within the second approach of Psul Kurva. We're going to analyze whether that is really seems to be the shot in the Rimigash himself. But one last thing, once we're dealing with the Ktzos, is that the Ktzos also is trying to make us like the Shach, right? Just like the Shach was trying to explain how even this Psul Kurva approach would be matir than the Gias in the case of Lechavaso, right? Even though it's not based on Chashash Shachar, even though it's a formal Psul Karov, and the Psul Kurva itself, you know, always applies in all directions. A Karov can't be made against your Karov either. So, right, both the Shach and the Ktzos are trying to explain that even though we're accepting this Psul Kurva approach, right, even the Psul Kurva approach could allow for Eidus L'chavasa. So again, we said before, the Shach took that by saying, oh, perhaps the Psul Karov stems specifically from the Hana. Different. There's no Hana, because in the case of Chavasa, perhaps there's no Kurva. That was the Shach. The Ktzos connects it to his famous Shita on Adas Balde, right? Because according to the Ktzos, this is sort of the thing we're getting at, according to the Ktzos, the Gzeres HaKasav of Kihuzeh, which basically says, and this is, right, the sermon by Adas Balde, right? The big question, the big hakir by Adas Balde, right? A person is Neman al Atzma. The question is that real Nemanus, or is that basically the Torah's, you know, a Kenyan? They don't really believe you, but it's as if you're giving the person a present right now. Meaning, when I say, oh, I owe you $100, I got a loan from you, is that we really believe you when you say that loan took place last week? Or is that even if we don't believe you, it's a kinyan as if I'm being mocking you $100. So in the end of the day, who cares? At the end of the day, if I'm now being mocking you $100, we can still collect $100. So the Ktzos famously takes the Nemanus approach and says it's a gzeres hakasav of ki hu zeh, that a person is Neman, right, despite all the psulim which apply to a person being made on himself, it's a gzeres hakasav of ki hu zeh, that if a person is being made against himself, the chavasa, he is Nema. So therefore says the Ktzos, according to my own shita, he doesn't develop all this, but he has references himself, and says, according to my own shita of ki hu zeh, that there's a gzeres hakasav which gives a person Nemanus regarding himself, so therefore, when a karov, right, in a chanami, the psul kurva exists, even the chavasa, but once you're being made of the chavasa, then ki hu zeh kicks in and overrides all those potential psulim. So therefore, even though the psul kurva theoretically should apply, ki hu zeh overrides it and grants you ne'amanus. So according to the Ktzos, again, he accepts this kurva approach, but again, offers a suggestion as to why the psul kurva would still allow for a case of being meyed l'chavasa. No, this is all within psul kurva, just different takes in terms of whether psul kurva will apply on l'chavasa.
How can an eidachad be missing mamon?
How? When I'm saying,
if I'm modbim myself, so if there's potential issue
of karvus, yeah, that's one of his.
If there wasn't karvus, then how do you
most? You know that I think that's one of his things. He says kiuzeh. He says, yeah, I think he says Aiden. You're a karov. You normally need edim. He says all these things. He says that's an example. Look, it's overriding I think he mentions that also. Yeah, 100%. So basically, he says there are a lot of reasons to not allow a person to be motzi mamon from himself. Kurva, baldavar, the lack of two edim, exactly. So that's all included in the gzeras hakasuf of kiyuzah. Fine. So now moving on to the third approach. So again, first approach is a technical chashash sheker, no formal psul at all. Second approach is that it's a formal psul edus, a psul kurva. So the third approach is that it's a psul baldavar, which we're going to see, which is basically the idea, not that you're a karov, but that you are the nidon itself. And according to this approach, we're going to see that, as we were referencing before, that it's not that there's a psul edus, but rather that you lack a shame aid. And what's the idea there? I mean, what do you mean? That you're an aid who can't testify, so why don't we just call you a psul aid? What does it mean you lack a shame aid? So the idea of lacking a shame aid is that in a court case, you have like different positions, right? You have the dayanim, you have the edim, and you have the baledim, the nidonim. So the idea in halacha, you have this in different sugyas of ein asadayin, a lot of where this issue comes up with the different, you know, positions in court. And the idea seems to be that if you're a baldin, right, you belong to baldin box, you know, you can't also, you know, then sit in the dayan box or sit, you know, in the edim box. So the idea of the lack of a shame aid is that it's not that you're disqualified. Is that once you're a baldin, you can't even attain the shame aid because you already have one role. Basically, once you have one role in the din, you can't then attain another role. I think that's my understanding of this idea. When we'll see in this Rimigash, this idea that a baldavar, and then in general this idea that a baldavar lacks a shame aid. And then the extension of the Rimigash from a baldavar to also anybody who's nogeya be'idus, but even nogeya be'idus has the din of a baldavar to lack a shemein. And again, going back to our original question, according to this, the reason why there's no makor for nogeya be'idus, again, is because you have a makor. Because just like in Makos, vav omer aleph, you have a makor for why bali din, bali davar, cannot be edim. I think it's some phrase like that in Makos Davav. So the same makor that exists, why Bali Davar can't be edim, that's exactly going to be the makor for the psul nogeya the edus. Because according to this third approach, according to the Rimigash and possibly the Rambam, they think that nogeya the edus is just an extension of a bal davar. Again, this idea that you can't play more than one role in a court case at the same time. So now in terms of who says this, this is the Rimigash. Again, this is a very interesting insight, again, especially in light of the fact that some Achronim are quoting the Rimigash as being a psul karov person. If you see, if you look at the Rimigash inside, it's pretty clear that he's not. So again,
so then what role are they playing if they're not?
They're Bali Davar. I mean, they're the three. They're the Dayanim, the judges, the Edim, and then the Nidonim, right? The plaintiff and defendant, or the... I feel like there's a phrase in English for both of them.
Litigants,
excellent. Yeah, he's a litigant. You know, as a nogeya be'idus, you're in the category of litigants, of the bali davar. So once you have that role, you can't even attain the shame of an aid. Okay, that's the idea. So according to the Rimigash, again, so both these Rimigashes, they're both in Bava Basra. The Rimigash in Bava Basra in the Mem Gimel Sugya, and then the Rimigash in the Mem He Sugya. Both sugyas that we've been referencing earlier. Okay, we really don't have so much time, but we'll try to do whatever we can, and then we'll come back and finish, I think, tomorrow night. So the first Rimigash, it's actually in Membez in Balbastra, at the beginning of the Sugya, basically asking the same question that everyone's been asking in the Sugya: why is the Sugya ignoring Tchiloso V'Sofo B'Kachos? Right, again today, why isn't the Psul Nogeya subject to that question, to that Psul of, or that requirement of Tchiloso V'Sofo B'Kachos? In short, the way the Rimigash answers that question is by saying this yisod, that because a nogeya be'idus is a baldavar, he lacks a shame aid. So just like we explained before, there's no point where he had the status of apostle aid. The only time you trigger this psul, tchiloso b'sofo b'kashrus, or tchiloso b'psul, is when there was a point in time where you attained status as a gavra of a psul aid. But if there was never a point in time where you were puzzle aid, meaning either you were kosher aid or you lacked a shame aid. So therefore, according to Rimigash, that's the way he explains it. Just to look at the Lashon really quickly, he basically asks this question. I'll just read it quickly. This little piece is very important. V'i kashala chahida amrinan kol shetchilaso bipaslos v'sofo bakashras pasal. Right? If you have this kasha, that means this case seems to be a case of tchilaso bipaslos. He says, oh, ki, again, slow me down if I'm reading too fast, I'm just racing against the clock here. Ki amrinan tchilaso bipaslos. When do we say there's a problem of tchilaso bipaslos? Afagav v'sofo. Sofa Bekashra's puzzle, and we say that even if he later becomes kosher, Bishas Hagadah, it's still a problem. That's only Hicha Dehai Paslos Asya Machmas Krevus O Paslos Gazim. It's only when it comes to Psal Karov or Psal Rasha. Umay Dedamilate, and something similar. Dehavilate Paslos Begufe Desada. It's a Psal Haguf, right? A status of Psal. Well, Hicha Delespe Besada Paslos. But when the aid doesn't have a psul, lo machmas krevus, velo machmas gazlanus, he doesn't have a psul karov, and he doesn't have a psul rasha, elo machmas dekamati lehana'a, misahadusehu, it's only coming from the fact his vested interest, his potential hana in the case, hu delo mekablina le lesaduse, the only reason why we're not accepting it is because of his vested interest, his negius, porn line's coming up soon, ki matchila, Hahu mine mikablinon leis aduse. When you push off negius, when negius is neutralized, we can accept it. Because why? Because kimat chila hu mine. When we neutralize the chashash eker, right, or the hana rather, mikablinon. Why? Mishum demand matile hana misaduse. Someone who, as it derives hana from the case, lav bar edus nihu. He's not subject to idus at all regarding this matter. It's clear that someone can be made on himself, i.e. baldavar, ki, v'leka ale shame aid klal. And therefore the nogea doesn't have a shame aid at all. Can't get more before than that. Alright, daha apishnayim aidim yakum davar amrachman, and therefore he goes on to explain, because look, when it comes to psul baldavar, it's clear that a baldavar lacks a shame aid. So again, in contrast to the way that Katsilos, which is, he basically just assumes, puts Rimigash in the Kurva camp, it's clear from this Lashon, and we'll see next time in the one in Memhei, that the Rimigash is clearly accepting this third approach, that the Nogea is a Psul of Baldavar, which basically results in the lack of Shem Eid, which has other Nafkamina. So we'll finish the Rimigash, the Rambam, and other.